It's an honor to be here to begin this evening, sponsored by YU, CJF, Leil Iyun, as we count down towards Yom Kippur. Rabbi Winston mentioned that globally, this year tonight is Le'ili Nishmas Harav Shmuel Eliyahu ben Harav Raphael v'Sara Esther. And I had occasion to speak to the family, to his parents, to the Almonds, and found out about somebody who was an extraordinary human being, who was brilliant, who was a real Ben Torah, who was a Baal Chesed, especially in math. He was a Rebbe in Hank, and especially the warm and glowing smile. And he passed away a young man. And we are mishtate from the Nechama to the family, and his Neshama should have an aliyah. Locally, I'm a member of Congregation Rinat Yisrael, and this is also being streamed through Rinat, and the Rinat presentation will be and is being sponsored by the Schiff family, by Debbie and David Schiff, in memory of Rav Shalom Yechiel ben Yaakov Alevi Umiriam, Dr. Seymour Schiff, David's father. We're now commemorating the first Yahrzeit. I remembered him well as a stellar human being, as a pillar of the Brookline, Massachusetts community, as an outstanding community leader, a wonderful, highly respected professional. And we miss him, and we extend the chama to the Schiff family. He left the Doros of extraordinary children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. My topic for tonight is entitled Reflections on Yom Kippur, the Dual Goal of Tshuva. As you know, I do not speak to you, but I learn together with you. And I certainly hope that you all have access to the handout that should be available somewhere. Rabbi Winston just put it on the chat. So if you don't have it, please access it and follow along together with me. I would like to raise four questions, and I would like to respond to all four questions with one basic and fundamental yesod that I think is really something that's very important. I was thinking about this, and every year I think a lot about what to talk about for Yom Kippur, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Shabbos Tshuva, and certain themes resonate, other themes resonate other years, and this year this theme resonated, and I realized that it's the same theme that I addressed in my Tisha B'Av remarks couple of months ago, also on behalf of YU Torah and CJF. And so it's on my mind, and the theme has to do with closeness and distance. I think I'm feeling distant. I think I'm feeling distant from one another. We're now in a stage and in a place where we're not together, and doesn't seem like it's getting that much better, and we don't know what the future will bring. And I'm also struggling with distance from the Ribbono Shel Olam. For the first number of months, I couldn't daven in a minyan. And I'm having difficulty trying to negotiate not only my interpersonal relationships, but also my Ben Adam L'Makom relationship. And so with that in mind, I'd like to begin the first of four questions. The Gemara says at the end of Maseches Yuma, Daf Pehei Amid Beis, please understand, I realize that there's a lot of Hebrew here, but I'm going to translate, so I want everybody to feel totally comfortable. Those of you who are comfortable with the Hebrew as it is, or the Aramaic as it is, Tavo Aleichem Bracha. If you're not, that's fine as well. Rebbe Omer, Al Kol Avera Sheva Torah, Bein Osa Tshuva, Bein Lo Osa Tshuva, Yom HaKippur Mechaper. When it comes to every single Avera in the Torah, Yom Kippur is Mechaper, whether or not you did Tshuva. It's a rather startling statement, because we normally assume and we actually accept the position that tshuva is fundamentally central. But according to Rebbe, it's automatic. You go through a Yom Kippur and you treat Yom Kippur appropriately and properly, and you do whatever you have to do and you don't do whatever you should not be doing. Doesn't matter. Kol Avera Sheva Torah, whether you did tshuva, whether you didn't do tshuva, Yom HaKippur Mechaper. And then there are three exceptions. There are three exceptions of categories of Averos that Yom Kippur is not Mechaper unless you do tshuva. But we have this blanket statement. In commenting on this, the Tosfos Yeshanim, which is at the bottom of the page in the Gemara, so I gave you the Tzuras HaDaf, which is something that I feel very strongly about how it should always be done. And you see the Tosfos Yeshanim is at the bottom. But because I try at least to be a Baal Chesed, I blew it up and I expanded it at the bottom of the page so that it should be easier to read, both for you as well as for me. So you have the Tosfos Yeshanim in the Tzuras Hadaf, and now let's take a look at the bottom. Tosfos Yeshanim asks a very odd question, a very interesting question, and a very unusual question, question that would not have occurred to me ever under any circumstance. The question he asks is, according to Rebbe, that Yom Kippur is machaper, done deal, in, out, finished, lama charav habayis b'shvil avonosenu, kiven sheyom kippur machaper. If Yom Kippur is machaper, and we're coming to Yom Kippur, and we leave Yom Kippur, and we have kapara, so we're done. We have kapara. So what sins are left? I know we have three exceptions, but they're very unusual. They're sort of on the side. They're not standard. Basically, we don't fall into the category of having committed any one of those three, which means that we're atoned for. If we're atoned for, our sins are wiped clean. If our sins are wiped clean, how could the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed? Mimnei chata'enu golinu me'artzenu. What's the chata'enu? Last Yom Kippur, the previous Yom Kippur. It's all good. I'm okay. Question number one. Question number two on page two. There, the Mishnah says at the end of Maseches Tainis, Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael, kechamisha asar ba'av uchiyom ha-kippur. That one of the two most significant holidays of the year, there is no holiday like the holidays of Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av, says the Gemara, the bottom of the first part of page two. Bishloma Yom Kippur, I understand why Yom Kippur is a holiday. Yom Kippur is a holiday, Yom Tiv is a holiday, because Mishum De'es Be'Slicho Mechila, and Yom Shenitnu Bo Luchos Achronos. Very significant events happen on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, it's a day when the Slicha Mechila is granted to us, right? That's the name of it. It's called Yom Kippur, Yom HaKippurit. So it's a day of atonement. Wow, that's really special. It's a day of atonement? By definition, that's what the day means. And if it's a day of atonement, that's a big Yom Tiv for me. And in addition, a very significant historical event happened on this day. It was on this day many, many, many years ago when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second Luchos. So you all know that he got the first Luchos on Shavuos, and then 40 days, 40 nights, he comes down, it's Shavuos B'Tammuz, he sees the Egel, he smashes the Luchos, he goes up a second time, the next day on the 18th of Tammuz, he comes down every Rosh Chodesh Elul, he goes up for the third time on Rosh Chodesh Elul, again 40 days, 40 nights, and he comes down on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur is a day when humanity received the document, which is the blueprint, not just for Jewish behavior, but for all of humanity, the Ten Commandments. Yom Shenitlo Bulchos Achronos, the first ones we know, Nebuch, they were broken. The second ones are intact. This is it. This is the text that has been the beacon and the central document of humanity. That's a big deal. I understand that that's a Yom Tov. But why is Tu B'Av? Continues the Gemara. So the Gemara gives 4, 5, 6 different explanations of why the 15th day of Av should be significant. My interest is Yom Kippur. Second answer in the Gemara is, why is Yom Kippur a Yom Tov? Because it's the day that the Luchos were given. The second Luchos came down with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah tells us in the bottom right in Parshas Kisisa that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down the second time with the Luchos, Moshe lo yada ki koran or panav bedabro ito. When he came down, he emanated a certain... He emanated a radiance from him, and he didn't even realize it. When you looked at him, you saw a glow that came out of him. Moshe lo yada ki koran or panav bedabro ito. Vayar aron v'chol b'nei Yisrael es Moshe v'hinei koran or panav. There's a certain radiance, there's a certain glow. Question number two, the Alkut Shimoni asks, Mehechon, bottom right, bottom left on page two, Ve'heichon natal Moshe karneho. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? What is it that generated the radiance that emanated from Moshe Rabbeinu when he came down with the second set of luchos? That's question number two. Question number three on page three. Question number three on page three, I want to give Shem Omro to Yossi Prager, who's a member of our shul in Rena, who shared this on a Yom Kippur now already a couple of years ago. And I've been really taken by this approach. And I want to thank him for bringing it to my attention. Question three has three parts to it. We're now at the top of page three. So you know, certainly Nusach Minhag Ashkenaz is after we finish the Shmona Esrei on Ma'ariv, on the night of Yom Kippur, we call it Kol Nidre night, we have a piyut that's called Yale. And if you look at this piyut, you see the first word is Yale, Yale, Yale. That goes through every single one of the stanzas. And then we start with Tachanu Neinu Me'erev, V'yavo Shavo Senu Miboker, V'yeroe Rinu Neinu, Yale Kolenu, Yavo Tzidkenu. It becomes manifestly obvious very quickly that we are proceeding in reverse alphabetical order. We start with Tuf, and then a Shin, and then a Resh, and then a Kuf, and then we go all the way down. Yale Dufkenu Dalet, Gilenu Gimel, Bakosha Senu Beis, and the last one is three Aleph's. So the first question is, I don't know, when I was in pre-K, my Mora told me that goes Aleph Beis Gimel. I mean, that's what it does. So what are we doing here? Why do we go in backwards alphabetical order? The second question is, if you look a little deeper, you notice that clearly this tefillah is following the pattern of Yale V'yavo. Right? We have a tefillah that we say on Yom Tov, Yale V'yavo. But there's something missing. Yale V'yavo. What's the word that comes after Yale V'yavo? I wish I was able to talk to you in a way that you could respond to the questions that I'm asking and you would shout it out. Yale V'yavo. V'yagia V'yeroe. Now, what happens here in this tefillah? Yale V'yavo V'yeroe. What happened to V'yagia? We have already a template. We have a familiar template. And here we break the mold. Yale V'yavo, whoops, skip over. And the next one is V'yeroe. And then the last question is the last stanza. You notice that at the end of every single stanza of V'yeroe, we are told what the V'yeroe is. V'yeroe rinu neinu. V'yeroe na kosenu, that God should see our wailing. V'yeroe kipurenu, that God should arrange and establish an atonement for us. V'yeroe chinu neinu. The last one is V'yeroe elenu. But V'yeroe what? Once again, we break the mold. V'yeroe what elenu? There is nothing here that is explicitly identified like it is in every single other stanza in this entire tefillah. So my third question is, as we examine Yaleh, 3A is why reverse alphabetical order? 3B is what happened to V'yagia? And 3C is what's the Yeroe in the final stanza? And now comes my fourth question. My fourth question is, the Gemara says, Maseches Yuma Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara says as follows, Amar Reish Lakish. Amar Reish Lakish. It's right at the top of the Amud, the first line. It's the second entry on the page three. Amar Reish Lakish. B'sha she'nichnasu nachrim leheichol. When the Gentiles came into the Beis HaMikdash and they were ready to destroy it, or they were more precisely in the process of destroying it, and they come all the way into the Heichol, Ro'u kruvim hama'urin zebozeh. They saw that the kruvim were joined with one another. So the kruvim are on top of the aron, and they break through, and they see the kruvim are hugging one another, are connected, are joined to one another. So the Gemara says, Hotziam l'shok, they took them outside, and they said, V'amru, Yisrael halalu, what's going on here? Look at these Jews. These Jews, Sheberchasan bracha, V'kilalasan klala, these Jews are supposed to be so special that if they bless somebody, it's a blessing. If they do the opposite, then it's the opposite of a blessing. Yasku bidvarm halalu. I mean, they're idol worshippers like everybody else. look what's going on here in their holy temple. They have this form and they're hugging one another. What's going on? It doesn't make any sense. Miyad hizilam. So they started to debase the Jewish people, make fun of the Jewish people, and quotes a pasuk. The Marsha in this shtickel of Gemara in Yuma asks from a Gemara in Bava Basra. Turn to the top of page 4. The Gemara in Bava Basra says we have a contradiction. What did the Kruvim look like? So one pasuk says that the Pneihem were Ish El Achiv, and the other pasuk says Upneihem Labayis. We have a contradiction. One says that the two Kruvim that were affixed on the top of the Aron, Ish El Achiv, they faced one another. And another verse says Upneihem Labayis. They went next to one another, facing inside. So which is it? What did it look like? So the Gemara answers on page 4 in Bava Basra, Daf Tzadi Tesemet Aleph. It depends. That when Jews followed God's will, then they looked at one another. Then they were connected to one another. They were eye to eye with one another. Those were the good days when they osin ritzono shel makom. But bizman she'ein osin ritzono shel makom, then they don't look at each other. They're both facing inside. Asks the Marsha, if the only time they're looking at one another is osin ritzono shel makom, but we're destroying the Beis HaMikdash. They're sins now. Obviously, they're not osin ritzono shel makom because God has destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Mipnei chataenu galinu me'artzenu. So if it's a time when it's ain osin ritzono shel makom, asks the Marsha and Yuma, according to the Gemara Bava Basra, they should not have been ma'urin. So how could you be ma'urin and face one another at a time when you're not doing God's will, if that's the opposite of how the Gemara spells it out in Maseches Bava Basra? So I now want to summarize my 4 questions. And I apologize that I have to go faster than usual because we are blessed with a stellar lineup. And I hope you hang in here with us for the remainder of the evening. We're blessed with a stellar lineup of outstanding presenters. And I certainly want to give them their due. Chazara, 4 questions. Number 1, the Taisus Sishanim's question. According to Rebbe, who says that Yom Kippur is mechaper, whether or not you do tshuva, which means that if I go through a Yom Kippur, I'm done and I have a clean slate. So how could the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed? What sins were left? How could there be a Tisha B'Av after a Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, Bein Asa Tshuva, Bein Lo Asa Tshuva, Zayfrek, the Heilige Taisus Sishanim. The second question is, Mehechan Natal Moshe Karneho. This coming Sunday night and Monday is an earth-shattering anniversary. It's an extraordinary anniversary. It's an anniversary of the day when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second Luchos, and that's why it's a Yomtiv. And the Torah tells us he came down with radiance. Where did that come from? Asks the Alka Chimoni. The third question is Yahweh. Yahweh, the Yahweh that we say right as we begin the piyutim after the silent Shmona Esrei on Kol Nidre night, Yahleh, number 1 is, why is it backwards? Number 2 is, what happened to Yagia? And number 3 is, what's the last V'yayraya? And my 4th question is, the Marsha's Kasha and Yuma, how could it be Ma'urin during the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? So I think what unites all of this, and what I think is really important for us, and what I find personally helpful, and I generally have the principle that if I find it personally helpful, then maybe it could be helpful for 1 or 2 other people, and I hope it will be. I started to say that I'm feeling a sense of distance. I'm living now in a world of distance. And thank God, Baruch Hashem, for family that we feel connected to, and it's a source of great strength for us, and thank God for community. But we don't see one another like we used to, and we can't hug our grandchildren like we used to. And there's a sense of distance. And as I said also, there's a sense of distance from the Ribbono Shel Olam, not just in the sense of the difficulty of going to Minyan, but there's this existential sense of trying to figure out what's the Ratzon Habori here? What does God want from me? And so I would like to respond to all 4 of these questions in the following way, by trying to understand what is the goal of tshuva. what is it that I want to accomplish when I do tshuva? It's a, I would say it's a pretty simple question. Maybe it's too simple a question. I wonder if we ever asked ourselves, I'm supposed to do tshuva, right? Where tshuva is all over the place now. This is Aseres Yemei tshuva. And we're coming up to Shabbos tshuva. And we finished Rosh Hashanah. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'aviren es ro'a ha'gzeirah. And we're coming up to Yom Kippur. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'aviren es ro'a ha'gzeirah. A whole chodesh elul. The Sfardim say slichos, a whole chodesh elul. We only say slichos at the end. It's tshuva all over the place. Why? What am I trying to accomplish? The goal of tshuva, I believe, is twofold. We're trying to do two things, and that's what I meant in my title, the dual goal of tshuva. There are two things that I'm trying to accomplish, and I invite you to think about this. You could reach me on jacobjs@earthlink.net. That's my email address. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think about this, but I'm thinking that there's a dual goal to tshuva. And again, I wonder whether we ever really asked ourselves this question. It's so built in that we have to do tshuva, but what am I trying to do? So one is, I want to do tshuva because I did mistakes, I did sins, and I want to get kapara. Tshuva is machaper. Tshuva, if I do tshuva, and tshuva means there are different components of tshuva, so I have azivas hachet, and I have charat al ha'avar, and I have busha, and I have Kabbalah lahaba. I'm embarrassed by what I did. I feel terrible about what I did. I'm so upset that I did it in the past, and I promise I'm not going to do it again. And if I do that, and if I do that sincerely, then my hope is that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mechaper my sin. But there is a second goal of tshuva. And the second goal of tshuva is not to wipe my slate clean. But the second goal of tshuva is to reestablish the distance that my sin caused me to have between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's to reestablish the closeness to God. That in a sense, it's not really related to getting atonement. I'm trying to, there's an efficacious goal here. It's very technical. If I do it right, so I get a check in the sky. But it's deeper than that. It's a relationship. I am trying now to figure out a way how to reconnect, how to reestablish a relationship. It was severed because I didn't behave the way I should behave. Just like Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Why do we ask Mechila for Ben Adam L'Chaveiro? What's the point? That's tshuva. Tshuva is, you got to fix it. What's the point? One is, I did a terrible thing. I have a demerit in the sky. I want to remove it. But it's deeper than that. It's, I want to be a friend again. I want to reestablish a relationship. And that's the same thing in terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is to technically get atonement, and number two is let's hug each other, let's connect to one another. We've been distant from one another for a while, and I want to reestablish the intensity of the closeness. Listen to two Rambams, two unbelievably, superbly magnificent Rambams at the bottom of page 4. Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Vav. Afa Pisha Tshuva Vatzaoka Yafa La'olam. Even though Tshuva is always appropriate all year round, nevertheless, Ba'asara Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim, He Yafa B'Yoser. There's a special inyan to do Tshuva right now during these 10 days. U'miyati Miskabelas, and immediately it gets accepted. Shenemar, what's the proof text? The verse, Tershu Hashem B'Himatz'O. Search out God when He is found. Kira'uhu, call out to Him. Bihi yoso karov. God is closer to us now. God doesn't just wait for us to show up. God makes Himself available for us in order to make it easier for us to reconnect. It's like God makes the first move, and now we have to join, and we have to embrace. And it's a sense of karov. My vision here is karov. My vision is bihi matzo. That means there's a closeness. That means there's a connection. That means that we're trying to bridge the gap between us and God, a gap that was made very, very strong as a result of, regretfully, the not 100% correct and appropriate behavior. Look on page 5. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva Perek Zayin. This is one of the most, I would say, majestic, poetic passages in the entire Mishnah Torah, in my perspective. At the bottom right of the first column, Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav Gedola Teshuva, Shemekareves Es HaAdam L'Shechina. You hear this? Did you ever notice this? Gedola Teshuva. You know why Teshuva is so great? You know what I would have said? Gedola Teshuva, Shemechaperes Al HaAvono Sheli. Teshuva is great because it allows me to have kapara. No, that's not what he says. The Iker Nekuda of Teshuva, Gedola Teshuva, Shemekareves Es HaAdam L'Shechina. It bridges the gap. It brings us closer. We reconnect. Hatshuva mekareves es harachokim. Emesh, listen to this, Rambam, line 5 on the top left. Yesterday, hayazesh sanui lifnei hamakom. This person was hated. The avarian, the sinner, was hated by God. Listen to this language. Meshukatz, meruchak, toeva, disgusting, distant, meruchak, rachok, distant, toeva, an abomination. I don't want to hug an abomination. I don't want to have a close relationship with an abomination. The further on you are, the better it is. But that was yesterday. But now that I did tshuva, v'hayom, listen to the beauty of the poetry of the Rambam. V'hayom hu ahuv, his beloved, nechmad, zis, desirable, wonderful, karov, close. The Adid, and the dear friend. What does tshuva do? Yes, I know tshuva takes care of the technical issues. Very important. I don't want to have an einish. I can get kapara. What a gift. Yom de isbe slicho mechila, the first answer in the Gemara, why Yom Kippur is a yomtiv. But the Rambam here stresses the closeness. And if we understand that tshuva is about closeness, and I think for me, it resonates this year because I'm yearning for the closeness. I'm yearning for the closeness of my family. I'm yearning for the closeness of my community. I'm yearning for the closeness of my chaverim. I'm yearning for the closeness of the Rabbana Shalom. And in a world where we're yearning for closeness, one of the ways to achieve closeness, certainly in our relationship to God, is to do so via tshuva, because the goal of tshuva, gedola tshuva, zokta hilig Rambam, shemekareves es ha'adam l'shechina. And with this fundamental yisod, I want to answer all four of my questions. What was the third question? Third question was Yale. Let's go back to Yale for a second. You remember Yale had three parts. Why do we go in alphabetical order? You know why we go in alphabetical order? Because we want to culminate with the Aleph. Because the goal is the Aleph. The goal is not to just get kapara and get tshuva. The goal is not just Yeroi Rinunenu, Yeroi Pidyonenu, V'Yeroi Kippurenu. The goal is to build ourselves up higher and higher and higher and to get closer to the Aleph. To culminate in the connection to the Aleph. Who's the Aleph? Elohim? The one, the singular one. And so therefore we daf go backwards because it's a progression. What was the second question? Why is Eno V'Yagia? After all, if the paradigm is Yale V'Yavo V'Yagia V'Yeroi, because we don't want V'Yagia. We don't want to just reach close. We want Yeroi. We want that Hashem himself should appear to us. We want to skip. Yagia, to come up to, is not enough for us. We want to connect. We want to be as close as possible. And so therefore the V'Yagi isn't going to help me here because my whole goal is to bridge the gap, is to overcome the distance, and is to experience the Yeroe of the presence of the Rabban Shalom in my life. And what's the V'Yeroe at the end? It's not V'Yeroe Chinunenu, and it's not V'Yeroe Hadrasenu, and it's not V'Yeroe Bakashasenu, but V'Yeroe Elenu, the Rabban Shalom himself, should make himself available to us. V'hu yera'eh. The capital He HaYidiyah, yera'eh Eleinu. I don't need to describe what the yera'eh is. Just show up. Just show up. Just be close. the Vieira, that's the goal. That's the pinnacle. That's what we're looking for. That's what Yala is all about. And so we start with Taf and we build our way up. And we skip Viagia, because Viagia is not going to do it for me. I want to get past the Yagia. I want to be Vieira. And that's the Vieira Elena at the end. This is all Yossi Prager, Yashakayach to Yossi Prager. Vieira Elena at the end is a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. Kodesh Baruch Hu himself should there, because that's the goal. That's what I wanted. That was question number three. What was question number two? The question of number two is go back now to the Yalkut Shimoni on page two. You remember Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, came down on Yom Kippur with the second Luchos. That's why it's a Yom Kippur. And the Torah tells us in the bottom right of page two, he came down with radiance. Bottom left, page two, Mehecha Nata Moshe Karneho. The Yalkut Shimoni gives three answers. I want to focus on the middle answer. Rabbi Brachia Omer, Min Haluchos, line four. I'm going to read two lines. You know where the radiance of Moshe Rabbeinu came from? Rabbi Brachia Omer came from the Luchos themselves. Did you ever wonder how big were the Luchos? What were the dimensions of the Luchos? Okay, so you walk into shul, many shuls have the Luchos Habris on top of the Aron Kodesh. So what did it look like? How big was it? You know, how heavy was it? What were the dimensions of it? How many feet by how many feet? What's going on here? So the Alka tells us, Orkan Shaluchos Shisha Tfachim. The length of the Luchos was 6 Tfachim. Let's assume 4 inches is a Tefach. That means it was two feet, 24 inches. The whole length was 2 feet, 2 feet long. The Rachban Gimel, and the width was 1 foot. It was 2 feet by 1 foot. That's it. V'haya Moshe machzik bebeis tfachim, v'akadosh baruch bebeis tfachim. Right? So now imagine, Hashem gives the luchos to Moshe, so Hashem holds on to the top two tfachim. He's holding on to give it to him, and Moshe Rabbeinu is grasping it from the bottom two to take it. So the top two God is holding. The bottom two Moshe is holding. You don't have to be a genius to know, ubeist fachim revach be'emza, and there are two left in the middle. Misham natal Moshe karneho. That's where the karneho come from. The karneho come from the middle two tfachim. Now listen to this. The radiance of Moshe Rabbeinu, and I would say that we all seek radiance. We also want radiance. We also want to feel that we have something really important and significant. We have radiance. We want to feel that we radiate simcha and comfort and joy and hakar satov. We want to live a life of radiance. Where does that come from? So the Medrash says, I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from the middle tutfach. You see, you understand that cannot come from the top tutfachim, because the top tutfachim, God is holding on to them. That's too holy. I can't operate it where God is holding on. It's too transcendental. It's too full of sanctity. And it's not going to come from the bottom two tfachim, where Moshe Rabbeinu is holding on, where a human being is, because that's too earthy, and that's too mundane, and that's too insignificant. That's not going to be a source of radiance for me. You know where the radiance comes from? From the middle two tfachim. The middle two tfachim, which are neither God nor Moshe. The middle two tfachim, which are both God and Moshe. Radiance comes from trying to raise ourselves up to come closer to God and trying to make an effort to bring God closer to us. It's in the space of the middle tutfach. It's in this effort. It's in the effort of bridging the gap. It's in the effort of coming close to God. It's in the effort of reestablishing a connection. It's in that space. God is over here and I'm over here, but I'm not happy being over here. I want to move up a little bit closer. I want to elevate myself closer, and I want to take the Ribbono Shel Olam and bring him down a little bit, and I want to meet him in the middle two tfachim, and that's where I want to have a relationship. And that's where I want to be able to connect. And that's what Shuvah is all about. And if we do it right and we do it properly and we do it sincerely, that is a source of radiance. In the very effort of trying to extricate ourselves from our physicality and our just humanness, but try to live a kedushadik, a life of sanctity. There's got to be more in life than just my mundane existence. That is a source of radiance for me, to reconnect to God, to bring God closer to me and bring me further up to God. What's the first question? First question is the Tosfos Yeshanim's question. Tosfos Yeshanim wonders, if I went through Yom Kippur last year, why do I have to do tshuva? I didn't do tshuva. Doesn't matter, I don't have to do tshuva. So how could the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed? You remember his question? It's like a bomb question. In a million years, it never would occur to me such a question. Last year, Yom Kippur, we're done. I didn't do tshuva. Okay, I don't have to do tshuva. Even if I didn't do tshuva, Yom Kippur is mechaper. So what's mitnei chataino? Why is there a destruction of the temple? Tosfos Yeshanim says, you know why? Because Yom Kippur helps. Yom Kippur helps to get rid of the sin. But I need tshuva to reestablish the relationship. I need tshuva to reestablish the relationship. And if I don't have the relationship, then the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. It's really so profound. It's so profound. Yom Kippur is juridical. Yom Kippur is technical. You go through a Yom Kippur, your slate is fine. So how could there be a Churban? What's mipnei chataino? Yeah, my slate is fine, but I'm not done yet. I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished yet until I have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's what tshuva is. And therefore, even according to Rebbe, at the end of the day, if you want tshuva gemura, if you really want to be able to live a fully exalted life, you don't just march through a Yom Kippur. That's very technical. But in terms of the transcendental, in terms of the exalted, in terms of the connection, in terms of the closeness, in terms of the relationship, that's what tshuva is. Tshuva is, I want to fix this. I want to fix not just, I did a bad thing and I don't want you to punish me, so I want you to make it go away. I want to fix the fact that somehow we've drifted apart. And I don't like that. And I'm not happy with that. And I want to come back to you. And I want you to come back to me. I want to extricate myself from my two tefachim. And I want to bring you down from your two tefachim. And I want to meet you. Not yagia. Not yagia. But v'yeroe. V'yeroe eleinu, God himself. God himself should be the one who should see us. And then the final question. The final question, the Marsha's question, how could the Ma'urin, how could they be Ma'urin, how could the Kruvin be hugging each other at the time of the Beis HaMikdash? And here I bring you, and I don't have time to read it, the bottom of page 5 is a beautiful thought, repeated a few times in the Sichas Musar of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, was the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva. I had the privilege of being in the Yeshiva when he was a powerhouse. In 1968, 1969, 1970, Chaim Shlevis was the great Gedolei Yisrael of the previous generation. And he makes the point that even when things are tough, even when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is about to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the love and the closeness is still there. That God does not abandon us. That even if it's Enos and Ritzono Shel Makom, but God is connected to us, and God is engaged with us, and God is present with us. So even in difficult times, our desire to come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam is made easier because God is here. And it is particularly so, as we saw in the Rambam, in Perek Beis in Hilchos Tshuva, during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Dirshu Hashem behimatzo. Kira'uhu bihiyoso karov. God is close to us now. We have to work on feeling it. But God is close to us. We've got a gift now, these 10 days. And God is close not only in good times, but God is close in bad times. And God is close in hard times. And God is close in challenging times. To feel the closeness of God, God doesn't abandon us. Sometimes it feels like we don't understand. Not sometimes, a lot it feels like we don't understand. But God is here for us, and God is close. And so therefore, I believe that this is why we can understand and appreciate all of the various points that I tried to share with you. The reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, even though technically we're okay, is because we're not okay, because there still is a distance. That's what the Tosfos Yeshanim says. You know where Moshe Rabbeinu's radiance came from? From this incredible effort to meet God in the middle two tefachim. The top two are too holy, the bottom two are too mundane. Let's elevate ourselves. Let's live a sanctified life. Let's meet God. Let's get close to God. Let's come to God. Let us have a connection and a relationship to God. And that's what Yala is. Yala is the Eroi Eilenu, Tav, Shin, Resh, Kuf, all the way up to the Aleph, to be able to connect to God. And as Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz teaches us, even when things are difficult. And so I think, maybe think about this. Why do tshuva? What does tshuva matter? Why is it so important? The double focus. Number one is get the job done. But number two is much deeper. That is reestablish a relationship. We should reestablish relationships in Mitzvah with one another. We should get past this. We should be zocha to be able to see one another and to hug one another and to greet one another and to enjoy one another. And we should be zocha to greet and to hug and to enjoy the closeness of our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I wish all of you a gmar sima tova, a good and gebencht yar for you, all of you individually, your families, for all of the communities that are represented here, and for the entire Jewish people, and in fact, for the entire world. Shana Tova.